Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home for your next Disney or Universal vacation, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. Show's also being brought to you by American Tourist Travel. Let us book your next Disney vacation, Universal vacation, or any other vacation you can dream of at americantouristtravel.com. Show's also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for Disney World, Universal Studios, or anywhere else in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. And our last sponsor is David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay at the Boardwalk, the Yacht and Beach Club, the Wilderness Lodge, the Animal Kingdom, Old Key West, Saratoga, you know them all, guys. Contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at dvcrentals.com. And now on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast, show number 270, I think it is, Dan. Hey, Dan, pull up a stool.
Hey, how you doing, Doug?
You know the deal.
I know. I shouldn't have to ask.
But I will cry, complain, and tell you anyway.
Okay.
We're also joined by John Peters, who's sitting in the rain this weekend for a change. He has the bad weather down there in Florida. How you doing, Johnny?
Good. Just normal afternoon thunderstorms. Nothing too exciting.
Raindrops keep falling on your head.
Yeah, there you go. It's Florida in the summertime, so.
Well, at least if you guys get the rain this weekend, you might not get it next.
Honestly, I don't mind it. So if it gives us a shower next week, that'll be fine with me. So we can usually hide somewhere in there. So
yeah, we've been getting a lot of rain up here. What about you? Haven't you, Dan?
No, actually, it's been dry. I mean, I've had to water my lawn every other day. It's we're begging for rain up here, believe it or not.
Now we've been pretty lucky. It's been the perfect amount. It's been like 2 days of rain, it goes nice downpours, and then it goes away, and it's been keeping the grass. It's growing too much with the hours I'm working, to be honest with you.
Yeah. You can hear it growing, as they say, right?
Yeah, I was only on the job this week 71 hours. I didn't put in many days. I bummed it this week.
Oh, boy.
You're slacker, man.
Yeah, we went to 10 hours a day, and I worked 7 days this week.
Oh, that's brutal.
And the thing of it is the first 3 days were only eights, but when you go into the Sundays, but the thing of it is with the driving there, the whole nine, I mean, on site, yeah, I always get there early. Then you have your lunch breaks and all that. You don't get paid for them, so you're there 9-10 hours every day regardless, and then they give you two more. I mean, I'm averaging like 11-12 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's starting to add up, man.
Yeah, I guess. That's brutal.
Yeah.
I feel for you, buddy.
Yeah, I had the last few Sundays off, and it's like it's crazy that you get a Sunday off and you feel blessed to have the Sunday off. So that's why, guys, we didn't have a show out this week. I just couldn't do it. I was just too tired. I mean, I could have let Dennis do all the talking, but you guys know you want to hear my voice too.
Yeah, it wouldn't be the same without you.
Yeah, but I'm getting through. The job's coming to an end, and so I made a commitment. The school has the dorms have to be open. You know how it is, Dan. You run dorms.
Yeah. There's out there in the real world, as they say, there's reality and deadlines and all that stuff. And regardless of your profession, I think we all can understand your situation. And luckily, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. You have a goal, and you'll get there, and this will all be behind you soon, hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah, it's getting close. It'll be going back to 5 days a week within the next couple weeks, so that'll be a good thing. I'm hoping to actually have 2 days off for 4th of July. I'm hoping to get Sunday and Monday off next week.
You'll have to have fireworks or something if that ever happens. 2 days off, you won't know what to do with yourself.
Exactly. Now, if I get three, I'll be singing in the rain. I'll be dancing. I'll be doing the jig over here. I'll be so happy.
Gee, 2 days off, you might contemplate going down to Disney World or something like that.
Absolutely. I know I could drive straight through now with the hours I've been working. I'm basically up that long anyway.
Right. Good on you. Oh, go ahead, John.
I was going to say, when he gets down here on vacation and he's got plenty of money to go out to dinner every night at all the fancy restaurants, he'll, those long days will be long past in the memory and be all worth it at that time. So.
Well, I can't afford if I go to. I mean, even though the overtime I'm making, I couldn't afford the boathouse, Marimoto's, and all them. I mean, I'll have to squeeze a couple of Rosencrowns in. Did you see the nice thing our good friends over there at Peas and Carrots did with the Rosencrown stuff for me?
Yeah, I saw. Was that a Periscope or a
Yes.
video? Yeah, I did see that. That was pretty good.
She made me feel special. But no, that made me want to get down there, man. I want that apron.
Gee, they got more Rose and Crown merchandise than they do resort-specific merchandise, I
Don't
think.
they, though? It's crazy.
And it's awesome.
And it's all nice stuff. It really is.
I saw about four things that I definitely am going to pick up next time I'm down there.
I can't wait to see it. I mean, did you guys see the all these hours I'm working in, did you see the dinner I made my wife last night? Well, we made together, but did you see the shrimp and scallops I made?
I saw the scallops. They
Well,
were,
they're both in the same pan.
oh,
How
then
did
I
you see
saw
the shrimp?
then I saw both. I thought that I didn't click on it, so I just saw it from afar, so they
Yeah,
looked
they were
brown to
good.
me.
They were really good. You like shrimp and scallops, John?
Absolutely, yeah, I love seafood, just about any type, so.
Yeah, they were good last night. I came home and my wife, do you guys ever, she makes this really good corn salad. I throw the ears of corn on the grill and she makes a really good corn salad and we put the scallops and the shrimp right on top of it. It was good summer eating.
Yeah, sounds delish.
And then you know the naan bread? What I do is we had the pizza stone. We put a little olive oil and garlic on the pizza stone. And put the naan bread right on it for a couple minutes on that pizza stone, and she made homemade fresh pesto. It was really, really good. We ate really good last
Yeah,
night.
I haven't eaten yet dinner, obviously, Ed. I'm getting hungry.
Well, that's my job here. I'm the show chef.
Oh, okay.
Nah, but I know I enjoy the cook. So it shows you how much I enjoy cooking. After working all them hours, I still found time to cook with my beautiful bride.
Yeah, you could have very easily been lazy and got a pizza or something, and it would have been understandable as tired as you are.
Exactly, but I mean, it kind of puts a monkey wrench in her schedule because I don't know about you, John, and I bet you the same thing with you, Dan. When your significant other don't have off on the weekend, it don't even seem like you had a weekend either.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
do know what you mean.
It kind of like our whole routine that we've had for the past, 10 years is like thrown off with me working these hours that we're doing. Because you get these jobs where you work weekends here or there, but it's never 4 months straight of this. You know what I mean?
Yep, I know
So
exactly what you mean.
the whole system's off. But I'm still watching videos. Did you guys, did either of you watch the Frozen Ride video?
I did not. I did not.
John, did you?
No, my wife watched part of it, but I didn't want to watch it since I'm going to go on it next week, so I wanted to wait. So, no, I haven't
Well, we
watched
all
it.
ain't you, John. You
Yeah,
know, I'm next week headed down 4th of July. No big deal. I'm there all
Nah.
the time. No biggie.
And just run
Nah,
over
but
for the day.
I seen it. It's okay. I think I like
Oh,
Maelstrom
man. Are you sure? Are you awake? Are you sleepwalking? Or
Nah.
really? I mean, I commend you for being honest. I mean, you just weren't enthralled with it, or?
It was good. I could see it. I mean, the thing of it is the music and all is good. Like, you get to see Olaf and Elsa, but it's kind of like it'll be one I could see for me that it won't be every trip. It's not a Soarin'. You know what I'm saying? It's not a Pirates or anything. It ain't going to be anything like that for me. I
So,
could
would
see
you
that.
go so far as to say it's definitely not a knee attraction? Is that safe to
Not.
say?
I'm gonna. I mean, I. Let me preface by saying this: when I actually get on it live, I want to give a chance to change my mind.
Yeah.
But right now, I could see it would be. I would never wait in line for it, and I wouldn't waste a fast pass on it. But
Wow.
after I did it once, like I
Right.
could see you guys doing it right away, John. I understand. I would have rather have seen Soarin' around the world because you could only get one or the other, right?
Yeah,
On next.
they're both
They're both on the
top
same
tier.
tier, right?
Yeah. Which, to me, I don't know. I'm like, I cannot wait for you to give me the report, John, and your wife's side of the story because she's more excited about it than you,
Yeah,
correct?
she's a big Frozen fan, and she's got a younger sister, so they kind of really fit into that Anna and Elsa type mentality. So they both of them really like the movie a whole lot. But I mean, would you say it's about the equivalent of the Little Mermaid ride at Magic Kingdom?
Exactly. It's
Yeah, that's
exactly like
what I
that.
thought. So yeah.
I mean, and don't get me wrong, for kids, they're going to love it. My wife and me will probably really enjoy it because I loved the Little Mermaid ride because it was a new. I was happy that Disney stuck with their roots and made another dark ride. Didn't you agree with that too, Dan?
Yeah, no, I do. And I think with this one here, the reason I asked you if it's an e-attraction, and thinking about it, where they use the same building and for the most part the same track, although I think I read that it might go in a different direction in spots, I
It
guess we
does.
shouldn't expect it to be an e-attraction. It probably was more meant to be on par with Maelstrom, not in scope and scale, but as far as what they could do with the limitations of the show building and what they could do with a dark ride in that facility. So I guess to be fair to it, I guess we sh well, not I'm not trying to speak for you guys, but I guess I shouldn't hold it against it for not being an e-attraction when it probably never was designed to be or never had the chance to be because of the, they're using an existing facility to put the attraction in.
I think the popularity of it will be any attraction because, again, all the young girls and Frozen fans, my wife and me, when we go on it, we'll probably really enjoy ourselves. Like, we'll be into singing the songs, and it'll be an awesome ride because we both loved the movie. I was shocked out my, because I took, when that came out, I took my wife, my mother-in-law, and my sister-in-law to see that movie. That's what my wife wanted to do. It was around her birthday when it came out. So I took all the girls out. We went to lunch and seen that and had a great day. And the songs, like we all know, became instant. Like right away, you were singing along with them, you were into them, and the movie was really good. I enjoyed everything about it, but it'll be more for kids and women or whoever loves Frozen. It'll be more. I think it'll be an e-attraction for them, but it won't be for me.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. That's,
No.
Disney World is full of, tons of attractions, and, some are for some folks and some are for the other. I mean,
It's going to be a people eater.
which they definitely need in that park, and especially World Showcase in general. I mean, it is no doubt an attraction for kids in particular is definitely needed. So it's going to serve its duty for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you'll enjoy it, John. I mean, I think you'll have a good time on it, but I think you'll agree with me when you get off of it.
Yeah, I mean, I what I expect is like I said, Little Mermaid. I mean, Little Mermaid's cute and it's fun, but as a grown adult male, I mean,
Yeah.
it's all right. I mean, it's so it's not the Tower of Terror or Kilimanjaro Safaris or something. So,
No, and there's things that we like that the women don't like to do.
right.
Like some girls probably don't like pirates as much as, the boys do. Or I mean, my wife loves it because I don't think my wife would like pirates as much if it wasn't her remembering it with her being a little kid. You know what I mean? It's more of a nostalgia of the whole ride. But if it wasn't for that, I don't know if she'd want to go in and see Pirates and, as much as she does because she won't own it as a little girl, if that makes sense.
No, yeah, and where it's one of the original attractions, I think
Yeah.
that puts those rides in particular in a class of by themselves. They're just classic Disney, and regardless of the theme, I mean, you're right. Most little girls in general. I mean, we're not trying to, be sexist here, but
No.
most little girls aren't going to be into pirates. Although a lot of them like Johnny Depp, but that's a whole nother story, and we won't go there.
You had to
Don't
bring
fire
him
me
up.
up.
Oh,
Yeah, don't
goodness,
get me
Dennis.
going there.
You were thinking
Yeah,
it.
hold on. Let me get my British and
Oh,
French
boy.
accent on. Yeah, so I can talk like them. But no, I mean, it's just like a lot of people. I know that it's like the people mover or the train. Either you like it or you don't. There's some people that don't like the people mover.
Right. Yeah, some people find it boring. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I've gotten people that say, well, what do you mean that's your favorite attraction? Nothing going on, it's slow, it's boring, and for all those
Yeah.
things, that's why I like it.
Yes, exactly. The attraction's awesome. I mean, I could sit on that thing all day. You know what I mean? But that's what I'm saying. I think you're going to enjoy it, John. So when are you planning on trying to get Soarin'?
When we go, well, we've got the 3 nights at the Polynesian at the end of July, and I've got the fast passes for that already then. So be heading out there 3 weeks later. So what's that, 4 weeks from today, I think. Yeah, and I think I actually have it on Sunday, so we'll probably do
Okay.
it 4 weeks from today. So
I watch that movie too. I can't wait to see that. I was happy they kept a lot of the same music in it. So I didn't take the song totally away, Dennis, so we'll be happy.
awesome.
So the other thing, did you either of you guys see Ant-Man?
Yes.
Did you, Den?
Yes, I saw it too, actually.
Yeah, I seen it. Been meaning to ask you guys. I seen it a couple weeks ago. I liked that. Did you guys like it?
Yep, I liked it a lot.
Yeah, so did I. I liked it. It was nice to see, because I'm a big Michael Douglas fan.
Right.
I think he did. I think he's a really good actor. And Paul Rudd's always funny, and I enjoyed that a lot. Now that would be an wouldn't that be an awesome attraction? Like, if you know, and to replace Honey, I Shrunk the Audience, maybe do something with Ant-Man.
Yeah,
Yeah,
and
and
it fit in, so.
it would definitely fit in. Yeah, my wife and I watched that, and we weren't expecting much going in, and we really, both of us, really, really enjoyed that.
Because it was something different, and it took time to write it. It wasn't like me and Brenda will go. I don't know about you guys. I love comedy like more than any other genre of movie, and I've been so disappointed. Like 90% of the comedies anymore, it's like they don't do any. There's no effort to it, and it's so nice when like they actually write a movie where there's actually you can see a little effort behind it. If you
Right.
follow me with Ant-Man.
Yeah. I mean, the story was good, and it made it somewhat believable. I mean, it was, for what it was, and I won't spoil it. But yeah,
No,
I
but
think you're right. It was there
it
was
was
some
different.
depth there to it, I'll
Yeah,
say.
wouldn't that be awesome if they did like something with the Honey I Shrunk the Audience building? I think that could be a lot of fun having an Ant-Man kind of deal with the audience. The sky would be the limit with that.
Sign me up. I'm in. I mean, they need something there, and this is something that definitely is in the stable of characters, although it's pretty deep down there in the pool of characters. But yeah, that would
It's
be awesome.
Marvel, but it would fit in Epcot because it's futuristic. It's kind of like scientific. Do you agree with that, John?
Yeah, I think so. And since it's not one of the characters that Universal has their rights to right now, they could
Yeah.
probably actually use it out there. Yeah, and I really enjoyed the movie because of the scope it was. So many of the Avengers and movies are the whole world's coming to an end and everything's going to, it's all over. But this one was
Yeah.
more of a close neighborhood related story. You know what I mean? So, and sometimes I enjoy that
Exactly.
instead of the end of the world on every movie you watch.
Oh, I hear you. That was my whole thing on. I don't know about you, but like with that Once Upon a Time, I got to the point where it's like they live in this place where it's supposed to be happy sometimes. Like they're never happy every week. When it started off, it was nice, but it got to the point where every week somebody's trying to kill them. Do you did you do your does your wife watch that,
No.
John?
Yeah, my wife and daughter and son-in-law too, for that matter, they all still watch it. I gave up on it a couple of years ago.
I'm in and out with it because it's like they're never happy. Every week they get rid of somebody, they send them, and they're back 2 weeks later to kill them again. It's like they're it's just it got to the point where I'm over you. I can't watch you anymore. You're driving me nuts. But the point I was making with the Ant-Man thing, the seating in the theater and all, the seats are already set up to have all the effects for a 3D kind of movie.
Yeah, absolutely. They could, maybe have to tweak it, or maybe the technology is good enough to just change the movie and put it right in there.
Yeah, but the whole thing with Honey, I Shrunk the Audience was a scientist who was shrinking things. This is all about the same thing, basically.
Yeah, similar backstory for sure.
Exactly. So I think it would fit in that building perfectly. Give us something else at Epcot. I mean, that's going to be the great thing. I'm going to love our next visit when all the people are taking the Frozen Fast Passes. I'm hopping on Test Track and Soarin', let me tell you.
You hope,
Yeah.
right? You hope.
Yeah, well, I think there'll be enough little kids there that want to go on Frozen.
Yeah.
So that'll be a positive thing about it being a World Showcase then.
Right. Yeah, I mean, we're going to talk about some things in the news coming up here, that there's some spin-off things having to do with the Frozen ride, that there's actually going to be a second attraction open early each day, but we'll cover that when we get to it.
Well, speaking of that, how about you jump into the news?
Yeah, we can do that. Let's see here. One man's dream to show preview of Pete's Dragon. I didn't know Peach Dragon was coming out.
Yeah, I did. I seen it. It was pretty cool. They actually showed previews of this way back at the Super Bowl. Do you remember that, John?
Yeah, I remember seeing it, and I saw the latest trailer come out, and I kind of like it. It's kind of a different story, but my wife was disappointed. She was a huge fan of the original one, and so she's a little taken aback by how it's getting portrayed in this one. So.
Uh-oh. Don't make my wife mad.
I don't mind them doing remakes and, you know, live action versus animated. And, well, the original one was half and half, right? There was animation and live action in it. So, yeah, I don't mind, you know, long as you can always go back and see the original. I don't mind if they take a shot at doing something
exactly.
different.
So.
But anyways.
Good, then.
Yeah, I guess we got to say Doug is right again. I think you called this, or at least you were hoping this to be true, but the Chew to join Epcot's International Food and Wine Festival for second consecutive year.
I told you they were coming back.
Yeah, that's awesome. The co-hosts of the ABC Daytime Show will be back at Disney World in 2016, along with the Next Eats kiosk in Future World with dishes inspired by the Chew. Yeah, this was a pretty big hit, and given their affiliation with, you know, ABC and Disney and all that stuff, it makes total sense. So, let's see here. For the second consecutive year, the Chew will film October 5 through 7 with co-hosts Mario Batali, Michael Simon, Carla Hall, Clinton Kelly, and Daphne Oz. The show's recorded at Walt Disney World will air on ABC Television Network October 10 through 14 at 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time.
Well, that'll be definitely taped at my house.
Yeah. I'm not home at 1 either, unfortunately. We had a fantastic time filming our show last year at Epcot International Food and Wine Festival and sharing the magic with park guests and our home viewers. It's the perfect pairing, said Michael Schneider, executive producer of The Chew. We look forward to returning for even more fun and great food with our fans and celebrity guests. For us, it's a terrific way to kick off our new season. Bites inspired by the popular talk show will be available at the Chew Collective in the Next Eats Festival area of Future World. Grilled beef skewer with romaine, apricots and feta cheese, ricotta and zucchini ravioli, and rustic tomato sauce and peanut butter, and white chocolate mousse with a caramel drizzle are on the menu. That sounds good.
Well, I'm in, especially as hungry as I'm getting now.
Yeah, really. We're delighted that the Chew will return this fall to the Epcot International Food and Wine Festival. Epcot Vice President Melissa Valquette said, "Our festival fans are also fans of the Chew, and we welcome this powerhouse of the daytime show that dishes up foodie fun with its own unique brand of culinary magic to our ever-evolving festival. Epcot's International Food and Wine Festival takes place September 14th to November 14th, 2016. So, yeah, I think it was a good ad last year. I know that I enjoyed several of the items from the you know, the Chew Labs there and the different things that they offered. I only wish I could see the taping. It's not going to work this year either, but they're only there for a handful of days, so that's kind of hit or miss as far as us traveling in from other parts of the country.
Yeah, my wife would love to go that time. That would be like, because we had tickets to go to the one in New York, but when they gave them to us, the snowstorms were coming. It was in February that we got tickets for. They offered them, and we ended up turning them down because we seen the weather. It was going to be like nasty, and I don't want to be hanging outside in New York. When you go to New York City, you want to be able to walk around. If you're not up, you know, like with us, I don't get to go there all the time. So I'd like to be able to enjoy the city a little bit if I'm going to go. And who wants to be there in February?
Right. No, totally understandable.
My wife would love to see it. It's her favorite show. She tapes it every day. And she watches it the next morning as she's getting ready at 5 o'clock in the morning. About 5:30, 6 o'clock, she turns it on and watches it while she's doing her makeup and getting ready. That's like, and I'm so happy about that because she used to watch, like, the Today Show, and the news. Like you know how the news? I don't know if it does it. I know it does it. Know how they have the same newscast from like 5 in the morning until 7, and they keep telling you about the same tragedy over and over.
Yeah,
and
they
over
repeat
again?
It every 10 minutes for people getting ready for work, but if you watch for a half hour, you see it three or four times in succession.
Yes, and she would watch the news all morning, and she'd leave for work depressed. Now she watches the Chew, and all I hear is Michael Simon says, Michael Simon says, Michael Simon says. So, but that's her favorite. Daphne Oz wasn't there last year, so she's a. I mean, Brenda would be really excited to see this. So.
Yeah, no, it's a perfect marriage. I mean, it's a culinary based show. I mean, I know it's a variety show and they cover a whole bunch of stuff and current events and different things, but at its core, it's certainly food based. And
Yeah.
what better pairing is with a food and wine festival? So it's a
Yeah, it's like
win-win.
90% food, I'd say the show is.
And the festival's
Yeah.
100% food, so
Yeah,
no,
so
it's
it
a good,
fits perfect.
yeah, no, it's great. I know that our good friend Bob was a big fan of it, and he's a big fan of Michael Simon too, given his ties to Ohio, I believe.
Yeah, we forgot to congratulate old Bob on his Cavaliers winning the championship.
Oh boy, yeah, I forgot all about that. Yeah, he hasn't been on in a while. We'll have to get him on at some point here.
Well, we texted him. He texted me to thank me for, the shirts and everything.
Oh,
You guys
nice.
liked your
Oh,
shirts?
yeah, they're fantastic.
Yes, awesome. They come out real nice.
This old buckethead over here didn't do too bad on
No, they come out nice. I'm
Yeah.
really enjoying them.
Yeah, the green. I like the green. I mean, my wife picks on me. Bob said his wife said she has no problem finding him now. I said that's exactly why I gave you the green, so you can't hide from her no more. But no, we're excited about this. I'm looking forward to seeing the Chew, and I mean, I would like to get down there. If I can't make it down your week, then maybe that'll be another possibility.
Yeah. I'd give it a shot if I were you. I mean, it'd just be an added, I don't recall hearing anybody that actually watched the tapings last year, although maybe we did talk to somebody and I just don't remember. But I don't know if it'd be as good watching it as you think it might be, if they just, run through it, or it's a lot of starting and stopping and hanging around and waiting. I don't know what the experience would be like or how they have it set up. I think we did cover this last year. I know when ESPN used to do their thing, they used to do it in front of the Sorcerer's hat. They'd set up a stage, and this would obviously be at Epcot, I would assume. And where they
Yes.
would set it up or where they sat it up, I don't even recall. Where do you remember where they set up the taping area for the Chew segment?
I think it was in Future World, between Future World and World
All
Showcase,
right.
that Chew Labs. That's where they were, weren't they,
Yeah, they
John?
were right there in between the two, the two stores, that the port of entry stores, when you walk down the big pathway towards World Showcase.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, and there's usually that one big topiary there, and they were right behind that. So,
Oh, okay. All right.
yeah,
So
right in the middle.
they were on the Future World side of that topiary they usually put up there.
Exactly. Yeah.
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 Yeah, that makes
And
sense.
just so our guests know, as I so rudely interrupted you, the preview for the Pete's Dragon will begin on July 1st.
Oh,
So if you guys want to go over to One Man's Dream
okay.
to watch that, it begins July 1st and it opens in theaters on August 12th. So I got you all off your game then when I asked you to move on. I was getting you to move on to finish that story, and then I confused you and got you into the next one. So it was my fault.
That's okay. Usually is. No,
Thanks, buddy.
I usually click ahead to the next story, so there's not that lag when I'm fumbling around or hitting the wrong button, and that's exactly what happened. I was already on the next story, so my
And
bad.
I want us to completely cover this before I jump back, so.
Yeah, the story was only one sentence long, and I missed it. I blew it.
It's okay, but that's what we do here.
Yeah. So yeah, food and wine. We'll, as we do every year, we'll have a lot more coverage coming up, and we'll be going over the menus in depth. We'll probably have Bob on, and we'll be doing all kinds of comparisons and previews and all kinds of stuff. So we'll move on from that, because we got plenty more coverage to come on that in the near future.
Absolutely. I can't wait to do it. We love them segments. We'll have John in on them this year.
Oh yeah,
Ready.
food.
Yeah,
Yeah.
we're waiting for eagerly for the menus to come out. So evening entertainment. Me and the wife sit down and look at all the menus as soon as you see them pop up. So
Yeah,
well, hopefully I get to enjoy them this year.
Yes. Let's see. Story again, there's still some fallout from the tragedy that happened down at Walt Disney World. But yeah, this week the resort beaches and recreational marinas were reopened. Crews have been installing temporary barriers and new signage on the beaches, and there are new restrictions on beach use. Guests will be able to use beach areas from sunrise to 1 hour before sunset, and they will be staffed by cast members. Recreational marinas were also open again, offering boat rentals and water sports. So, you know, they put up some fences, and they're, you know, modest fences, nothing too elaborate. In fact, I'm kind of surprised at what they look like, but I guess all in all, given the circumstances, they're not as bad as they probably could have been.
Yeah, my only thing is it's going to keep people out of the water, but it's not going to keep, I mean, if there's a, the gators are that big of a problem, they're going to climb right on, they can walk right under the fence.
Yeah, I think it's more to, you know, a visual thing.
Just
for
the
people,
eye,
for people not to go there, more than a physical barrier to keep any of the wildlife out. That's what I'm guessing. And
it ain't even going to keep kids out. They can crawl. I mean, it's just the point, like you saying, it's a bigger stop sign. It's saying,
yes,
don't go in the water, please.
Right.
Please, please, please don't go in the water. We've only told you 15 ways, but please don't go in the water.
Yeah, that's
is basically what it's saying
yeah.
to you. I'm surprised they don't. They should put up electronics that if you step by it, I think the next thing they're going to have to put a laser beam.
Yeah.
And if you step through it, an alarm goes off to tell you not to go in the water.
Yeah, I don't know what their thoughts are, but looking at some of these pictures, it looks like pressure-treated posts with rope.
Yeah, with rope running through.
I was just going to say, I wouldn't be surprised if these are just temporary and there's something more permanent and elaborate coming. That's just my guess. I haven't heard that, but I'm guessing the pressure-treated posts and ropes aren't going to be the final barrier, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, it's saying do not feed the wildlife. Please do not feed the animals.
See.
Alligators and snakes in this area. Stay away. Repeat, stay away.
Let's see here. Moving right along. 4th of July 2016 celebrations at Walt Disney World. Walt Disney World Resort will be celebrating Independence Day with special firework displays, patriotic character meet and greets, and music concerts on July 3rd and 4th. Over at the Magic Kingdom, Disney's Celebrate America, a 4th of July concert in the sky, will be performed at 9 p.m. on both July 3rd and July 4th. Fireworks shows at Walt Disney World don't come much bigger than this. In addition to the normal Wishes launch sites, the show uses 9 perimeter launch locations, Island Launch Site in Seven Seas Lagoon, and the use of the water pageant barges for a light show and audio for the Magic Kingdom resorts. Park hours are July 3rd, 8 a.m. to 1 a.m., with extra magic hours 1 a.m. to 3 a.m., July 4th, 8 a.m. to 1 a.m. Over at the studios, the new Star Wars, a galactic spectacular show, will now take place at 9:30. Park hours will be 9 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Over at Epcot, Illuminations, Reflections of Earth, with July 4th finale at 10 p.m. on July 4th. Park hours are 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. The Voices of Liberty will perform a 4th of July concert at the American Gardens Theater at 12:30 p.m., 1:45 p.m., and 3 p.m., and in the American Adventure Pavilion at 4:15 and 5 p.m. Special patriotic character greetings are also available at various times throughout the day at the American Adventure, along with another opportunity to catch the Spirit of America Fife and Drum Corps outside.
There you go.
Yeah, outside at 2:15 p.m., 3:30 p.m., 4 p.m., 4:45 p.m. The Fife and Drum Corps has not performed since being retired in October 2014.
They heard us crying, Dan.
Yep, they're throwing us a bone. glad to see they're back. I guess there wasn't a lot of work for a Fife and Drum Corps, so they were at the ready to come back and serve if called.
I don't know. You got to be nuts to be down in them parks next weekend.
No, call me nuts.
I'm just kidding with you. So which firework are you guys going to? Which one are you going to enjoy?
We saw Hollywood Studios last night, and it wasn't the Star Wars ones at that time. It was just the 4th of July, and they did a massive show just for the fourth
Last night or
last
last
year,
year?
last year.
Okay, you were confusing
Yeah,
me. I'm
last
sorry.
year, and then I'm hoping it's just not the Star Wars show that they're doing on July 3rd, because we can basically see that show, you know, anytime we're there. So I'm hoping that they had a bigger show. If it is just the Star Wars show, we'll probably catch Illuminations. I'm just not into Magic Kingdom. We got trapped there one time, and it's really
I
hard.
could
It's
only
really hard
imagine.
with my wife in the scooter, you know, trying to get around, and it
Right.
just claustrophobic. So not a big fan of that. So I like a little more room to mosey around. So probably
Oh,
Illuminations.
absolutely. There's always a place to hide at Epcot.
Yes, yeah. And
Yeah.
it just isn't as packed as that. The you know, the forecourt area of the Magic Kingdom can get it just crazy. So
Yeah.
I mean, the Magic Kingdom's a little better since they got rid of my duck pond, but you know what I'm
yeah,
saying. Since they've
since they
changed
opened
it
the
over,
hub
but
up,
it's
it is a
yeah.
little less constricting when you go through the center of the park, and when, especially when you're trying to get out, when the mass exodus happens, you know, it gives you a little bit more room, but it still throttles down when you go down Main Street. So, although I'm sure, well, I'm not sure, but I would be willing to bet they open up the backstage road there to get out when you know, the
I
fireworks
call it the
back or
alley.
the alley. Yeah, there you go.
That's what I
Yeah,
call
because it's just, you know, hundreds of thousands of people trying to all get to the buses and watercraft at the same time is
Yeah, and as much as I'd like to see that show, I have to gauge that over standing, you know, in France or the UK, and then just turning around and walking out through the International Gateway and making our way over to Hollywood Studios and jumping in the parking lot right there and going. So that's all a heck of a lot easier. So.
Yeah, you guys know what show I'd be seeing. I'd be at
Yeah.
Illuminations.
And like you said, Doug, even when Epcot is slammed, you can still, you know, find an off the beaten path area, or you know, a room where you can breathe a little bit. Whereas in the Magic Kingdom, I think, you know, there's an attraction with the Magic Kingdom, especially, you know, people with young kids, but a lot of people just want to spend or celebrate, you know, holidays or commemorations like that in the Magic Kingdom, you know. And I'm with you guys. I'd choose Epcot for sure. I'd even choose
Well, what's
Animal
it?
Kingdom, you know, over Magic Kingdom on a holiday night like that.
Absolutely. The thing of it is with the Magic Kingdom, there's unless you go all the way to the back to some of the lands and then hide in a corner, everybody's always coming towards you when they leave. It's like a mad rush. Like at least at Epcot, you got all the countries. There's little nooks and crannies in all the countries that you could hide to get away from the fireworks.
Yeah.
Where people, because it ain't, there's so many things that are off the main drag where it seems like the Magic Kingdom, everything leads into a
Yeah,
bottleneck
you
when
always
you're
feel
leaving.
like you're a salmon swimming upstream when you're going in the Magic Kingdom, right?
Oh,
If you're going
exactly.
in when,
Especially.
you know, something's letting out, it's just crazy.
Oh, it's just. No, not for me. I'll be sitting home chilling, praying for you, John, to get out safely.
Yeah, we'll be fine. What we did last year was actually we were on our on the path, you know, between Hollywood Studios and Epcot,
Yep,
and just
my
yeah, there you
path.
go, the one that you've talked up so much, and we started using, and we just stopped right there, and there's only like maybe I don't know 10, 12 other couples out there, and you could see the fireworks fantastic from there, so that worked great. So
Don't tell everybody
yeah, I
about my
know, I'm ruining
secrets.
everything, ain't I? So.
Yeah, you could. What I would do there if I was just you, me, and a couple people listening to us, I would bring one of them foldable chairs. Know the ones that slide into little backpacks? You know how you buy them chairs, the little short ones,
Yeah.
the ones you use for the beach
Yep.
and all? I'd bring a couple of them on a backpack and put it on the grass right there and watch fireworks. That's what I'd be doing.
That might have
Yeah.
been something like what we did, so.
There you go.
Let's see.
Beautiful. And your wife has the scooter to sit
Yep.
on, so you just need a
Yep,
chair.
exactly.
Unless you sit, does she have a basket?
I don't think I'd quite fit.
That would be a sight to see, John in a
I
basket.
could see you with the Main Street T-shirt on, riding in the basket. That would be
I
perfect.
like to drink
Make sure
beer,
you
but I
periscope that.
usually control myself a little better than that. So,
Yeah, make sure you're periscoping that one if it happens, John.
Let's see here. New Epcot guide map includes new additions and a return of some of all thrills.
That didn't leave
Yeah,
long.
a new Epcot guide map is now now available, updated with the recent openings in both Future World and World Showcase. Frozen, After All, Royal Summer House, and Soarin' Around the World are all included, along with a return of Sum of All Thrills. It was previously speculated that Sum of All Thrills would be closing this summer, but it now seems the attraction may continue for a few more months, possibly without its sponsor, Raytheon. Here is a look at the front and the back, and you guys can't see this, so we will skip over this. But your typical park map with, you know, awesome pictures and references to those newly opened attractions or reopened attractions. And it is amazing, and obviously they have some foresight here, but how they crank out these new guide maps to reflect changes in park attractions or, you know, shows or whatever. And it's no different here. They got it out in time, and we have an awesome new park map.
Would you guys like a couple coming next week then?
Yeah, that would be awesome.
All right.
I wouldn't mind it, buddy.
John, that's great. You take it, or at least I do, I take it for granted. I must have a box full of park maps from all over the years and stuff, but when I'm there, sometimes I don't grab enough, or I don't grab the ones I want because they're so plentiful and you can get them anywhere. But as soon as I get back home, I'm always thinking, I should have got one of those or a couple extras of those, because it's nice to look at, and even sometimes doing the show, they're nice to refer to back, you know, just, you know.
You're right. It's just not the same. I get the map. You can bring it up on the computer or whatever, but it's not the same. You can never see it as well as you have it in your hand.
I totally agree, Doug. There's nothing like having the actual park map, or even like, you know, when we would do crank it through the dining reviews. I've been trying to pick up the paper menus, and when I can, and I ask for them. I'm not stealing them, so don't turn me in, anybody. But most of the restaurants do have the paper menus, and they'll gladly let you take one if you ask. But yeah, it's, even though you can get the menus online, I just find looking at the actual menu itself easier to, you know, manipulate, and just easier to extract the information from.
Yeah, I just love my park maps a lot.
Yeah, they're cool. Let's see here. Operating hour and entertainment changes at Disney's Hollywood Studios for July. Now, we probably covered this. I'm wondering if this is the same. Yeah, pretty much.
No, it's a new one.
Yeah, okay. Disney has updated the calendar of July 2016 with numerous changes at Disney's Hollywood Studios. On many nights, Star Wars, A Galactic Spectacular, has been moved to 9:30 instead of 9:15. Second performances of Fantasmic have been added on many days, along with extension to park hours throughout the month. Yeah, the tip here, obviously, as we preach quite often, is if you're going down there, particularly in the summertime or any busy time of the year, check your park.
My Disney Experience. Yeah, go to My Disney Experience app and bring up the park hours
right.
for yourself.
Don't assume because when you booked your trip 6 months previous that everything's going to remain the same, because depending upon crowd and bookings and, you know, what have you, Disney's app to...
Construction.
Yeah, construction. Good point. They may add or decrease hours, or, you know, change the schedule around, or add a second show of something, like in this case with Fantasmic. So it could change your plans for the evening, for the good or for the bad. But you definitely want to, you know, when you get a couple days out, go on your app, like Doug said, and make sure everything is happening at the time that you thought it was, because if not, you may be disappointed if they've moved the show.
Absolutely.
And we can't have that when you're on vacation. Let's see, what do we got here? A Pirate's Adventure, Treasures of the Seven Seas, now offers a bonus fast pass. Today you can receive a bonus Fast Pass Plus to ride Pirates of the Caribbean, playing a Pirate's Adventure, Treasures of the Seven Seas. All you need to do is complete at least three of the five missions, and the bonus Fast Pass Plus is yours. The collectible treasure finder cards are also still awarded for completing each mission. The interactive experience takes around 20 minutes per mission, with the sign-up located in the Crow's Nest just beyond Pirates of the Caribbean in Adventureland. Has any of the two of you done this?
No, I haven't. I haven't had time. I
What have you been
mean,
doing?
John would be, yeah, working. But John would be the perfect one to do this one of those days that he's down there every 5 minutes.
We've done the card game, the Sorcerers of the Magic Kingdom, a couple of times, but no, we've never done this one because every time I walk by it, there's a gajillion kids in line for it. So I'm waiting to catch it on a slow day when I'll run up there and give it a shot. So.
Yeah, you don't have your son to push you to the front of the line
No,
no more to cover it up for you that you really want to
yeah,
do it.
exactly. So that's why I quit with the card game too. I feel a little awkward standing in line with 5, 10-year-olds, but.
After you, because it's in the Magic Kingdom. Now, if it was at Epcot with your beer flight, it kind of wouldn't bother you as much, I don't
A
think.
scavenger hunt with beer flight would be fine with me, so.
Right.
But I'm sorry,
if
guys.
They start one of these for the Frozen attraction, John will be all over it.
I'm just saying, after the few beers in the beer flight, you don't mind what anybody thinks about you standing in line. All inhibitions go away.
Yeah, I gotta be honest here. I wasn't even aware that this was a thing, but I guess you two are well aware of it. But I too have done Sorcerers of the Magic Kingdom. The first year it came out, and I've given up on that. It's just not my thing. But I didn't know that Pirates had something like this.
I think it's more like the Perry thing, or what was Kim
Oh yeah,
Possible,
around
and
World Showcase.
It's more like that. You do something, and a little interaction thing happens. I don't think it's not. I don't think it's the card type thing where you have to combat each other in the card
right.
or anything. So.
Yeah, but still, it's something, and we always say, and kids and technology, and they seem to want to be entertained by that type thing. And given by the lines that you spoke of, John, it sounds like it's pretty popular.
Yeah, I've seen quite a few people playing it. So
yeah,
and it's free.
Exactly,
that's the main thing. It's an added bonus.
Yeah,
it's something you don't have to pay for.
Right. So one of the big things this week. Finally, the long-awaited Frozen Ever After ride is opened up at Epcot's Norway Pavilion. The story here, large crowds gathered on the morning in World Showcase ahead of the attraction's 9 a.m. Opening. Wow, look at the queue. It looks like the queue for Maelstrom on its last day. Let's see.
I mean, I think it might even be more.
Yeah, I would say it is, Doug, by the looks of it.
Yeah, it's packed.
Yeah, the queue area is nicely detailed and includes a few nods to the former Maelstrom, which we will not discuss, and this will be spoiler-free unless I blow it. The ride uses the same ride system as the former Maelstrom, but a few tweaks to the track along the new show scene makes it hard to recognize much from before. There are impressive audio automatronic figures and, of course, a very familiar soundtrack. And there's a video here. Wait times jumped over 3 hours with the queue extending all the way to the outpost beyond China. Frozen Ever After is open daily from 9 a.m. to park close and is part of the morning and evening extra magic hours. FastPass Plus is available and is highly recommended. Also,
you really think for 3 hour wait, I highly recommend it?
Yeah, I think so.
Talking about a no brainer.
Right. Yeah, just let me get this in and we can discuss. But also, on now open is the Royal Summer House Frozen Meet and Greet. The meet and greet is part of the newly expanded Norway Pavilion that now also includes a new Frozen gift shop, who would have thought, and an expanded restrooms in that area. So, Doug, I'm going to assume you've seen the complete ride through, at least on YouTube at this point.
Yeah, that's what I said at the beginning of the show. I watched the whole thing, and I don't know how, like I said, you guys be the judge of it. I'm excited to see it one time, but I could see it just being a one and done for a while. If it goes to the point like Maelstrom after a while, then yeah, I could see me getting on it every trip. But if the wait times are the way they've been, I'll do one fast and be done with it for a
right.
while.
What about,
just to say yeah. I did it.
What about you, John? You looking forward to this attraction or?
Yeah. Like I said, we got fast passes for it next weekend. I think my wife is really looking forward to it. So I'll enjoy going through it and hearing the music and just hope.
Do you want to build a snowman? Oh, I'm sorry.
You break into song. And checking out the animatronics. I always get a kick out of, comparing the animatronics to other ones and stuff like that. But I don't see it as something that I would I don't like waiting. I mean, we generally never wait longer than half an hour, 40 minutes for any ride, so I can't see us ever doing that. So,
the best part, they got Olaf and Sven in one scene together, my two favorite characters in a movie.
That'll be the highlight of the attraction for you anyways.
Exactly. It's pretty cool. Like, it shows you, like, know how you used to drop backwards?
Yep.
Well, there's a thing where she's singing to you, and you push away, and you go down the hill, so... It looks pretty interesting. There's like, it's real dramatic. It's like you can see like the big ice. It's kind of like her ice palace, kind of in there. Remember the ice palace where she goes and hides at? That's what I took it as. That's what a lot of the that's what the main scene seems like. It's you're in the ice palace.
Right.
So
yeah, I mean,
but you'll enjoy it. I'm just happy it's open. They did something. It'll eat with that open and Soarin' open and Test Track open. It'll balance out that park again.
Right.
Where everybody's not, I could see Soarin' not having, because everybody loves Soarin', but not everybody, and it's weird, like, me, everybody knows about Soarin' from listening to our shows and how great it is, but if you're just going to the park for the first time and you have your kids with you, the first thing they're going to want to do is Frozen at Epcot. Do you guys disagree
with me?
Yeah,
I think you're right.
Oh,
that's like the name brand.
Right. That's going to be the draw to get, you know, for the kids wanting to go to Epcot. I mean, you know, most of the other stuff, as awesome as it is, you know, it's not going to roll off the tip of, you know, a kid's tongue. I mean, especially the younger set. I mean, you know, Rock and Roller Coaster and stuff like that. I mean, you know, some of the kids that are a little older are going to want to go for the sheer thrill ride aspect of it. But as far as recognizing characters from a movie that they've seen probably 100 times on you know, Blu-ray or whatever, it's definitely going to be Frozen. It'll be, you know, the kids nagging the parents, hey, we want to see Frozen.
Yeah, I could see the, that's what I'm saying, I could see the crowds being down when everything is said and done, after everything's been open for a while. I could see Test Track and Soarin' be a lot easier to get on with Frozen being in that park. What do you guys
think? It's going to be a people eater because, you know, looking at some of the pictures that were with this story, I mean, not only the people that are in the building actually on the attraction, but there's going to be, you know, thousands of people in the queue line too. So that those people are not going to be over at Soarin' or some of the other places at Epcot, and that's where I'll be.
I bet you for the next 2 years, you don't go by that ride without a line being outside. I guarantee
that.
Yeah,
I think you're right. Yeah. In honor of Maelstrom, guys, what was your favorite part of the Maelstrom ride?
Mine was actually pretending you were going out the window, even though I knew you weren't.
What about you, Dennis?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of like when you go up the hill when you first start the attraction and the blinking troll eye there or whatever. I kind of like that part of it.
Yeah, because that's one of my favorite memories of scaring my sister-in-law, making her think it was a. She thought it was going to be a big drop on the other side. That was my favorite part.
Yeah, my silly part. I love that little village you got when you got off the boat at the end. You walk around in the detail of that little village they had set up. So I always thought that was so cool. So.
And if it's from the looks of the video, and you could tell me when you go on next week, John, it looks like that's where the ride starts.
Really?
Yes. If you watch the video, that area looks like it's still there.
Okay, great.
But I could be wrong because, like I said, I'm watching the video and I'm not there. But there's like that old village kind of deal where you're going into the ride. And I think that's where you get on the boat.
Well, I guess that would make sense. That would kind of fit in with Arendelle. So it kind of looked like their little village they were in. So.
Yeah, it looks like that's where you board the boats now. But I could be wrong. They might have duplicated that if you follow me. But I don't know. I'm happy, like I said, but every time you go by there, it's going to be like Peter Pan in the Magic Kingdom. There's going to be 8,000 people standing outside.
Yeah, and they did.
And that never happened with Maelstrom.
Right. Yeah, and they did say, and, you know, these will become not folklore, but there'll be things that, especially us that really miss Maelstrom or enjoyed Maelstrom over the years, they left some nods in there and, you know, what they are, I'm not going to say. I think I know one of them, but, you know, it'll be nice to just look back and just remember what it once was, and, you know, you'll be able to tell your kids and grandkids and family members, you remember when Maelstrom was in here, and you can tell a little story, so that'll be kind of cool.
And I think I could be wrong. You guys let me know, because it's been so long since I've been on. I'd have to watch a video of Maelstrom again, but they look like they've reconditioned the same boats.
So they look like the little Viking boats then?
Yeah, they kind of look like they're similar shape because I guess because of the track. I think they might have redid the existing boats for that ride.
Yeah, I know they sent them out, but I don't know if I'm trying to find the picture here, Doug, to see what you're talking about.
Well, if you start the video with the volume down,
oh,
you'll be
yeah.
able to see.
That's the last thing I need to do. I'll be done for the whole podcast. Yeah. yeah, no, I think you're right. They might. They very well may be. I'm looking at a still here. And
yeah, I think they're the same. Yeah.
Doug, that's actually one of the cool. That was one of the coolest things, like being backstage. You'd go past the back of that attraction, and you'd see three or four of them sitting out there getting reconditioned all the time. It looked so odd and out of place, but there they'd be sitting. So.
Well, next time that stuff happens, be the journalist for the show that you're supposed to be and take some darn pictures.
You got to be very careful with that. So,
yeah.
You get in trouble?
Yeah, when you're walking around
job,
and you're
so.
Not supposed to backstage taking pictures, next thing you know, the SWAT team will jump out of the hedges.
Well, we pay you more. We pay you more. I just gave you a free T-shirt. What more do you want?
Yeah, you've been paid in full.
Yeah, it's funny. Oh, that's
yeah,
funny.
So earlier I was talking about another attraction. So that the Grand Fiesta Tour, starring the three Caballeros, to move to a 9 a.m. opening. So I guess while you're waiting in these massive lines, or before you get ready to wait in a massive line, you'll be able to jump in and experience the Grand Fiesta over at Epcot's Mexican Pavilion. And
I don't think it's long before the entire World Showcase opens at 9.
Yeah, I think we're probably heading in that direction. You're probably right. Let's see.
Why would they give up not offering food and stuff like that when there's going to be all these people? And I could see all countries starting to make breakfast.
Or at least, and we're going to cover one.
Oh,
location.
Yeah, there is one here.
Yeah.
I didn't even see that.
Yeah, I mean, you got to figure that, you know, a lot of families, and we did this when our kids were small, end up breaking up in that, you know, some don't want to go on the attraction. Some may be scared. Some may not like it. So mom will grab a kid or two and head over to an attraction, and dad goes in a different direction. So it would make sense that some of these other countries, at least in that, you know, area, or maybe, you know, three or four countries on either side of Norway would be open to, bring in money and make use of those pavilions.
I've said for years, I don't understand why all the countries don't have breakfast in their restaurants. I just don't get it. I mean, wouldn't it be cool to go out to breakfast in one of these countries and have their breakfast? I mean, it would be cool. And I don't understand why that park never opened at 9 in Future World. I mean, in a World
I mean, we're really just talking about 2 hours, right? I mean, it's 11 a.m. The World Showcase opens. I mean, I think for the festivals, and again, the festivals are a fairly new thing, relatively speaking. I mean, the Food and Wine's been going for many years now, but the park hours were set up for different reasons, having nothing to do with the festivals. But I think that kind of does give, during the festival time for everyone to prep, and especially on nights where, you know, they're open late at Epcot, you know, they need time to clean and do all that stuff. So I think that's why they kind of like that. And obviously they're not paying hundreds or thousands of cast members to open up World Showcase. But I guess if they're bringing in income by virtue of, offering breakfast and having the stores open, that would offset those costs and actually make them money. So if they can make money, I guess it doesn't matter if they're paying the cast members, they're going to make money. So, but I agree in general terms with you, Doug, that we're probably looking at Epcot just being one big park and opening up and having the same park hours, regardless of whether you're in Future World or World Showcase.
Yeah, because if you're in Italy Pavilion or any of those and you're going counterclockwise, wouldn't you want to walk? I mean, wouldn't you want your stores open so people can walk through as they're going to their fast pass at maybe 9:20 or 9:30 and they got a half hour to kill?
Yeah, you would think. You would think. It's, you know, it's just, you know, for us old timers that have been going for years, it's going to be weird. You know, World Showcase is just off limits to 11 o'clock. It's just been like that for so long. And those days are over, at least in the Norway and Mexican pavilions for right now.
Yeah, you would come in, you know, and maybe roam. I mean, because they do have pastries here and there. They do have certain
things over in France.
Like, I know you enjoy that, John. But every time I've ever walked in, through International Gateway there, I would just go in and bang a left, go past the Rosencrown Pub, and go to the Future World. You know what I'm saying? That's the way I always went. I never even go right because everything was always closed. You know what I'm saying? And then we realized that the pastry shop was open, that they kept a secret the first few years. So we started going that way, and I felt wrong going because I didn't want to tell too many people you could go over there. I enjoyed those few hours, that hour by myself. Didn't
it was
you?
Your park,
you know?
Just you and Epcot together, right?
And the missus. We could have some good times, and then all of a sudden at 11 o'clock, everybody had to join us.
No, that's it. I mean, in a way, it's exciting. It's something new. I mean, you know, we kind of have our – we're set in our ways, and this is just going to be something a little bit different. But, you know, I think we covered this before. We always go counterclockwise, or we go to Canada. We come
yep,
in.
I always go to Canada
yeah,
first.
Yeah, so I'm definitely going to be going to Canada now. And it's just going to be a wall of people, I think, starting right at that the bridge there. Or right when you get to Mexico right there, it's just going to be unbelievable, I think, the amount of people that are going to be in line. And now that, you know, they're saying the Mexico Pavilion is going to be open. So you know where the pyramid is there and the restaurant that on the other side there. There's the sidewalk can't be 20, 25 feet wide, not the sidewalk, but the roadway or walkway. I mean, there's not a lot of room there. So those people that don't know where they're going, that are going to be standing in the middle of the road looking at their park map and trying to figure out where Norway is, it's going to be interesting.
Don't you love that person?
Yes.
Don't you love that person? It stops dead
yep.
in the middle.
But can
I mean, yeah. Yeah, it's just so sad. They mentioned that on the Mickey Dudes podcast.
Right.
And the guy made a point. It's like the guy in his car, his navigational system goes off, and he just slams on the brakes right in the middle of the expressway. I mean, because it's basically equivalent to that, because you get it on Main Street,
oh, yeah.
too. You have the idiot there with his kids, and, well, where are we going? And he stops right in the middle of Main Street with the map open, and then you bump into him. He looks at you like you're rude.
Right.
You know, I mean, where else would you do that? I mean,
I've seen people do it on the tollways down here. They get in the e-pass lane. You're supposed to have that little transponder, and they don't realize that they needed that transponder. And instead of just taking the fine or whatever, they will hit the brakes and cut across five lanes of traffic. So, yeah,
oh, yeah.
You see it. You
oh,
know,
yeah.
So.
Just to say.
Or the person that, yeah, the person that gets on the off ramp.
Ooh.
And they sit right at where they got to throw the change in. They'll sit there, instead of pulling over to the side and finding their change, they know they're getting off. They wait till they get there and then dig through the purse or the pocketbook or the change thing for 15 minutes to get their change out. Do you guys do that when you're driving down? Don't you, like, when I'm leaving for Disney World or I'm going anywhere to work or whatever, before I pull out of my driveway, I have the money. I put the money in the console for all the tolls. Me and Brenda have a toll thing for when we drive down. Like, what is it with people? Don't they realize they're going to be paying these things? They just don't care. They're in their own
yeah.
world. It's all about
yeah,
them.
Yeah, we take the turnpike every time, and so we've got the Sun Pass on the truck, on the car, and that's like the $10 that I have the biggest grin on my face when I pay it, because I know that's our trip to Disney. So
exactly.
Yep, and I pay it, and we're good to go. So
you gladly pay that bill, right?
Exactly. So.
Yeah, so anyways, yeah, the Grand Fiesta Tour will be open, so you'll have a second attraction. The Grand Fiesta Tour boat ride will be open along with a new breakfast at La Quina de San Angelo.
Angel,
either way.
Angel, there you go.
Yeah, so like Doug was alluding to, you know, some of the countries offering breakfast. In this case, the cantina, we'll say, to make it easier, will be offering breakfast. So I'm sure you're going to be able to get a nice Spanish omelet or something like that. And the seating there isn't too bad. I mean, they have that outdoor seating. Oh, it's covered.
Be a nice morning.
Yeah, it would be a nice morning. But again, it's going to be cranked. I would anticipate lines there too. People trying to get a bite to eat before they go get in line for 3 hours for the Frozen attraction. So it's going to be it's going to be interesting to see how the crowds are and how they disperse them and what impact it has on the touring habits of Epcot in general. I mean, you know, World Showcase, I should say, more specifically. It's going to be interesting.
Now, the menu looks pretty good here, too. I mean, it's different.
You
got a chili. I ain't even going to say this. It's two fried eggs, layer of fry, a layer – layers of fried corn tortillas with green tamale sauce, topped with a queso fresco, onions, and sour cream for $8.75. Scrambled eggs, corn dough filled with pork chorizo, John, covered with green tamale sauce for $8.75. And then they have a bread roll filled with scrambled eggs, chorizo, jack cheese, red onions, lettuce, and guacamole. That's me right there. It's called a pambazo de chorizo con jivo. So you say that three times right.
Actually, all that sounds really good. So.
Yeah, so you'll be in. John, that's what you can get before you hop on.
Yeah, if we get over there in time, I might hit that up for breakfast. Like, talk to the wife into leaving early. So.
Now I'll get the kids one. Scrambled eggs topped with cheese served with potatoes and fruit. I'm in for that for $5.99.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they have to serve something there while you're waiting. I'm sure if there's a three-hour wait, you're going to get breakfast, lunch, and dinner here. They should just have a waitress come over and take your menu,
right.
Your order.
Yeah, when you order breakfast, you also put in your lunch order, and they give you a little some kind of placard that you put on your back or your arm or something so they can come find you in the queue line and give you your lunch later.
I mean, holy moly, three-hour wait times. That's never going to happen for me.
I don't think so either. Let's see. So we covered this. Oh, yeah, you just read the menu. Well, I see what you did. You went ahead there one story. So, okay, so dinosaur refurbishment extended at Disney's Animal Kingdom. The upcoming refurbishment of Dinosaur at Disney's Animal Kingdom has been extended. It was originally scheduled to reopen on September 30th. It now has planned opening on October 17th.
Holy moly, is that a good
Yeah, the refurbishment date remains unchanged at July 25th. I don't know if that's good or bad, or they just ran into some complications. I don't even think we heard what exactly they're doing, so I don't think that there's going to be any major changes to the attraction, but we'll have to see.
My bet is, and this is just me, I think the animatronics are probably getting a little long in the tooth because they do a lot. They do a lot of movement. Yes, da-dum-dum. And the other thing is I wouldn't be surprised if they just can't keep up with the maintenance on those trucks, and they just need to do a complete overhaul on all of them because they take a beating.
Yeah, it's a rough ride, so I would imagine so.
Yeah, there's a lot of mechanics that go into them, but that would make me sad. I don't understand why they do these. Something had to happen. Why would you close this ride in the summer?
Yeah, my answer to that, when you always say this, Doug, is Disney World is so busy now, almost 12 months a year, something got to go down during the busy time. And it just, you can't pull everything down on the quote-unquote off-season because there is no off-season now.
Yeah, but there's certain rides that I hear you, Dan. I'm just crying like I normally do. Come on, man. I work 72 hours this week.
Let me have my dinosaur.
I was going to say another thing might be that in anticipation of Pandora opening next year, maybe they're trying to refurbish everything now so that everything is up and at 100% when Pandora does open.
There'll never be everything up and 100% as long as that stupid Yeti blinks. You know what I'm saying?
There's a primeval whirl spinning over there. So.
Oh, that's just horrible. But yeah, until they fix the Yeti, nothing will ever be 100% over there.
Yeah, well, that may be a while.
That's never going to happen. That thing's going to blink like a disco light forever.
Yeah, probably not.
So sad. That's like, and I know everybody hates it, so turn off the show right now when I yell and scream about it. But my point is, it's just, that's the sad thing. It's like, Disney does everything so good, and for that not to work just bothers the bejesus out of me. I mean, am I wrong about that?
Yeah, I'm over it. It did bother me for a long time because I tend to be a completist and want things, you know, right. But I'm over it. I don't ride it that often now. So
well, that's why I don't ride it.
Well, I think if you rode it back when it did work, and you compare what you ride now, and you miss it, and you have that opportunity to miss it, then it matters to you. But like my son, he doesn't even remember it working correctly, so he just likes the ride. You know
you
what I mean?
You can't miss what you don't remember.
Yeah,
when
exactly.
You never saw it, so it doesn't bother him. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, just wrong to me. I don't like it. It would be like the truck not working on test track. It's like the horn. Nothing happens when you go by it. It's just. It's like that's one. Ain't that the kind of like the scariest thing on test track? The coolest thing with that truck.
Oh, when you almost hit the tractor trailer.
Yeah,
there? Yeah, that is.
Yeah, it's just cool. I mean, it's just, or the door. Like, how about we do this at test track? Just leave the doors open.
That would ruin it, really, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
See the sunlight
yeah,
the entire
no,
time.
We can't get these. Yeah, we can't get these doors to work. We're just going to leave them open all the time so you see the outside. The whole effect of that is the doors, you know they're going to open, but every time you're still hoping they do, if you know what
right.
I'm saying. There's always a slight chance in your mind this thing might not
right.
open. You know, no, we'll just leave them open. No, don't worry about it. And we'll turn the water off on Splash Mountain and, you know, all that. The boom. We'll take the boom away.
Yeah.
The air cannon.
The only... I was just going to say, the only thing I can think of is once Pandora opens and that whole world's open, I'm not saying this is going to happen, but I think if it could happen or there's a slight chance it could happen, I think that maybe Disney would anticipate closing that down for a couple of years or however long it would take. I'm talking about Everest to redo it. And I could just see a huge campaign, you know, Everest relaunch and, you know, something new coming. You know, I'm talking 5, 6, 7 years after Pandora's open or something. I mean, it's probably pie in the sky on my part, but I could see them doing it after they establish, you know, Pandora and get, you know, major attractions over on that side of the park.
I've heard speculation that way, so.
Yeah. Besides Primeval World and Triceratops Spin, those two junky rides, I mean, besides that, I mean, Primeval World, really. The other one's okay. But besides that, I think Everest, to me, is the most disappointing ride in the park. For what it was, is everybody wants to piss and moan about the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. I'll take that over Expedition Everest every day of the week. They only had a little bit of a land to build this thing on. And if you compare to what they are, there's really, what do you guys like?
Oh,
about?
I'm Expedition Everest. Even with the broken Yeti, I still like the ride. So.
But it don't disappoint you with, like don't you think with all the build-up of that, there should have been – I still think there should have been more of a – the whole story's in the queue. All it is is a roller coaster with it would be like just take all the animatronics out of Splash Mountain and just have the drop. That's what it would be to me. All it is another roller coaster with a mountain.
There's a guy with a feather in his ear coming after you, Doug.
Yeah, well, that's fine. But do you get my point though with that, John?
I just got what Dennis was saying.
yes, it's sad. But the point of it is I mean, wouldn't Splash Mountain be just another splash ride, another flume ride if they took away all
the
animatronics?
Well, actually, it'd be a lot closer to Big Thunder Mountain Railroad if they got rid of all the, you know, the little side characters and the animatronics on it, because that basically is almost, you know, it's a roller coaster and it kind of goes up and down the hills and stuff like that. But what makes Big Thunder Mountain Railroad so much fun is the I don't know, trying to hit that possum every time. So.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. There's always something different you catch when you're on that. With Expedition Everest, it's snow, man.
I don't know. I love getting up to the top and seeing the track ripped up and stuff like that. I don't know.
Yeah,
I always get it.
That's the only part.
So.
The track ripped. I mean, it's just, to me, like I said, I understand people think it's a good ride. It's a thrill ride. But for what it was built up to be, it's not my – I own it in my park, but I don't want it.
Well, I'll grab it. If I get to play this year, I'll draft it. I'll take it. So.
Yeah, you can have it. But you get my point, though, for what it could have been, the scale of – Dude, they have so much property that they built that stupid thing on that they could have did more. I mean, I love the view of it. It's absolutely a beautiful looking ride. But the whole that's the only ride in the park I enjoy the queue more than the ride.
Yeah, I mean, there is – you're right, Doug. There is a lot in the queue. And, you know, but the fact that it's supposed to be a mountain and you're at the top up there, I mean, that's – probably what would be actually if you were on Mount Everest or in the mountain region.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess in that way it is kind of lifelike, if you will. There isn't going to be a lot of vegetation or a lot of, you know, animals and stuff like that up at that elevation. So in that way it is somewhat, you know, like you would expect. But I think the track broken away, and for me, just me, I always enjoyed the, you know, when you see the track flip over there, that was always, when you go backwards and you see the shadow of the Yeti on the wall there, that's a cool thing. You know, I always liked it, and I hate roller coasters. I mean, that was a roller coaster that got me to actually somewhat enjoy a roller coaster because I was interested in seeing everything else about it. So, I mean, I'd rather go on that than a, you know, a regular, I don't know, any other roller coaster, I guess. Not in Disney World, but just in general. And the ride vehicle's pretty cool. I mean, it is a train, and you do love trains, Doug, so I'm surprised you don't like that a little bit more.
Nah, it's just, like I said, I don't know. I just envision it to be more like how it Splash tells the story with Brer Fox, Brer Bear, and Brer Rabbit. I would have liked to have seen other explorers, explorer camps, you know, different things going on before you slowly go up and see a bunch of animatronics, tell a little bit of a story, then the track gets broken, and then you do the big all drop. But to me, it's basically like the Jackrabbit at old Clementon Lake Park around the corner from me. I actually like that old wooden Jackrabbit. It could remind you, you ever see, well, I know you have, but Vacation with Chevy Chase.
Oh, yes.
Wally World with the big wooden roller coaster. I'd rather go on that than Stupid Expedition myself. I'm so disappointed in it. And I get complain and fight. It'll be another fight I could have with one of the Mickey dudes if they don't like this argument. But I just do not like that ride. And
no, but I would say, even with all the support I give Everest and all that, if, you know, Big Thunder, the Mine Train, because of the audio animatronics, prefer, if I had to go on one or the other, I'd go on Mine Train. I mean, I'm not saying I would choose it over Everest. I'm giving Everest a little bit more of a pat on the back than you, that's all.
The biggest thing I miss about Everest was when they had the regular ticket fast pass, I would get the fast pass just to get to a kid.
Right, right.
Make them happy. I got more fun out of giving tickets away to go on that ride than I did doing it anymore.
And that does bother some people. I mean, you know, kind of, you know, particularly older people, myself included. I don't ride it as much as I used to. It bothers my neck and back and stuff like that. So, for that reason, I find myself not going on it as often as I used to.
I'd rather go through a Kilimanjaro again and hope to see something different, go see Flights of Wonder, anything. I mean, that's like on – and that entire park beside Primeval World, that's the second – right at the second last for me to do. If I never do Expedition Everest again, it wouldn't be too – it wouldn't bother me at all. That's like I said, I like to look at – all it is to me is – to me it does as much as it's basically another weenie like the Tree of Life to me. All it is something nice to look at.
Yeah, it is beautiful. You can see it from far, far away, that's for sure.
So you got anything else I can stop my crying?
Let's see. I was in the middle of this story. Next story. Royal Summer House is now open at Epcot's Norway Pavilion, completing the first phase of the Frozen expansion. Built on unused land between the existing Norway Pavilion and the Mexico Pavilion, the Royal Summer House expands the existing village area with an indoor character meet and greet, the Wandering Reindeer Shop, and expanded restrooms. The new area is beautifully themed, similar to the look of the new Fantasyland additions at the Magic Kingdom, especially with the rock work and the grassy rooftops. The Frozen meet and greet. Until the Frozen Ever After ride opens on June 21st, which that obviously happened, the meet and greet with Anna and Elsa is the main event, and their new home is wonderfully detailed. Unlike the original Magic Kingdom Frozen meet and greet, there are no Fast Pass plots, so this is standby only.
Yeah, that'll change.
An exterior queue leads into the summer house. Inside detailing and finish is extremely well done. The meet and greet is set up similar to the Princess Fairy Tale Hall, with both Anna and Elsa in a single room. So a single wait line, single wait will let you meet both Anna and Elsa.
No, well, I think that the Fast Pass will come. There'll be something for that.
For an upcharge.
That's going to be yeah, exactly. But between the lines for that and the lines for the Frozen ride, I'll be happy. I'll go to the other parks because half the visitors are going to be at those two meet and greets.
It's going to chew up a big segment of the people that are at Disney World on any given day. No doubt about it.
If you've got an 8-year-old girl, you're eating breakfast there in the Norway Pavilion, you know, meet the princesses and in the thing there, and then doing the ride and then doing the meet and greet, you've got, what, 5-6 hours taking you up already. So.
Wow. That's unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy, but that's what it will be. I mean, thank God they got food there. Like I said, there's probably going to be servers in the line the way it's going right now. Did they move the margaritas? Did you see on Bob's page over at It's All in WDW? What was that story about the margaritas?
Oh,
did
no,
you
yeah.
see
He was just
something on that?
saying that you can still get a margarita at the kiosk outside there in Mexico. You know, the food one that they keep up year round for food and wine now? It's down. Down more towards where you'd go into the cantina there, where the opening where you'd get a, go up to the window, right across the street from that, there's a kiosk that it's for food and wine, but I believe they keep it up year round. Is that true, John?
Yeah, it's open quite often. It's the same one they use for the flower and garden, the food and wine. They had it open for Christmas for different stuff, and so
it's headed back towards
If you're walking towards Future Roll, it'd be on the right-hand side. So.
Right. Yeah. And what the point of his story was, Doug, that he was just saying that they offer a margarita on out of there. So he's saying by de facto that this is the new margarita bar, that it's replacing the one they took down up further to closer to Norway there.
I bet you won't be long before it is open. I mean, it is serving multiple margaritas. They had to move the other one out because of the crowds.
And with all the people there, they'll sell plenty of them too.
Oh, absolutely! I know. I would be drinking multiple of them in a 3-hour line. I mean,
and
holy
I don't know.
Well, thank God you have Fast Pass, John.
Yeah.
No, and it's hot in that area. You guys know it's certain times of the day that seems like one of the hotter areas of World Showcase. So nothing would go better than a nice frosty margarita. So they'd be selling them by hand over fist there if they were, with the massive.
Well, when you enter the Mexican Pavilion, it seems like a 30-degree temperature drop when you walk in there. A lot of times you freeze when you walk into that little. Market
and it's dark
you?
And stuff. Yeah, and you actually get blind for a minute too. You know, bright
yeah,
sunshine.
You're blind and frozen when you walk in there.
it's true. But... let's see.
It is. It really
the Wandering
is.
Reindeer. It wouldn't be an Epcot Pavilion without a gift shop. So as you exit the meet and greet, you will find yourself inside the Wandering Reindeer. It also has its own dedicated entrance and storefront. Inside, you'll find all the Frozen merchandise you could ever want, and view the Royal. Okay. So, I mean,
I don't want any of it.
Who would have thought they'd have a gift shop, right? I would think that this would be one of the most best grossing retail spots in all of Disney World once this attraction is open and everybody's going there in mass.
Sales are going to go up in that area 300% over the next couple of years. No lie. I'm going to miss my H&H store, too, because I used to like going. Me and Brenda, that was one of our favorite stores. Even though we didn't buy anything all the time, we just liked looking at all the different outfits and different shirts and stuff like that in there.
We used to always kid around. Let's go look at the stuff we can't afford to buy.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I'd always look at it.
Beautiful
stuff. I'd always look at it even though I don't have a chance in heck of ever wearing it. But...
I have a couple. I have a ball cap that my wife bought me from there, and things still like brand new. I admit it's about 15 years old. I still wear it.
Good for you. I thought you were gonna say you don't want to wear it because you're afraid to ruin it or.
No, that thing is I can't ruin it. I wear it all the time. It's one of my. It's one of the hat. It's been out of the rotation for the last year or so since a good buddy of mine got me a Rosencrown and a Port Orleans hat. But they were in the rotation. But I wore that thing probably every day, at least 3-4 times a week for about 3-4 years. The thing still looks, and it's still up in the cabinet like new.
Well, I guess it goes to show you buying quality merchandise does pay off because you're going to get the life out of it, right? So I guess it's something to be said for that.
Did you guys feel some of them shirts and sweaters, though, the way the wool or whatever it was? Those things were heavy. They would keep you warm. I thought about – Brenda wanted – I didn't buy them because of how expensive they were. But I thought about it a couple times on freezing cold days outside putting a footing – building a deck or doing something like that. I'd say, man, if I had one of those sweaters, I bet you I'd be awful warm right now because that's what they're designed for.
Yeah. No, quality merchandise and beautiful merchandise. But I tended to see a lot of people doing what we just explained, that they're definitely window shopping and not really purchasing anything in there.
Yeah, the same thing with the perfumes and the clones and all that stuff. But it was an awesome shop. You know, you skipped the movie, ran into the shop. It was a tradition.
Yeah. And it was something different, you know. I mean, you know, it was
Yes.
definitely something different. But that's all changed now. Now there's going to be a bunch of plastic frozen merchandise, and they'll be selling it by the, you know, the truckload. They'll have 40-foot tractor trailers coming in and out of there, you know, hourly, bringing more merchandise. They'll be plowing through so much stuff.
Well, hopefully they have something there. Hopefully maybe they have another store there we haven't seen. You could report, John, that has the old Norway stuff. Like, maybe they do have another storefront area.
I'm just hoping they didn't get rid of the big troll, you know, the big guy that's in that one store. So hopefully he's still sitting there.
He's probably
gone. Yeah, I think I thought I heard he was gone, but again.
I'll check it out next Sunday, so we'll find out.
Well, that's going to be it for this show, right, guys? You got anything
else, Danny?
No,
that's pretty much it for news.
I saw one thing real quick on the Disney food blog, if you don't mind. Okay.
Shoot. What you're here for? We'll let you give us a story. Go ahead, Johnny.
They had a picture of a new popcorn bucket out there, and the sign, instead of, you know, the popcorn bucket's at $7, the popcorn bucket was now 10, but refillable at $1.50 a shot. And so if you apparently if you get one and they said it was good at all four parks. So if you buy the bucket, you can get it refilled for $1.50. But what they didn't
– Now, is that just that day or the entire week?
Whether or not it's just that day or if it's good for the entirety. But, I mean, we usually go through one bucket while we're walking around and get another one to take home. So it would work out
for
us.
That'll pay for you.
Yeah, so.
But it would be nice if it was like a refillable mug and you could at least use it for that length of stay. I could even see them giving you the length of stay – or give somebody like you, John, maybe three or four trips. You understand what I'm saying? A couple refills or something, but...
Yeah, I mean, when you get down to it, I mean, popcorn is...
Next to nothing, isn't
right,
it?
Right, it's like price. I mean, it wouldn't cost them anything to give you a couple fill-ups, even though I'm sure it's going to be, you know, just for that day. But, yeah, you said it, Doug. You beat me to it. I said, here we go with the refillable mugs again. Look at that guy with that popcorn bucket. That's back from, you know, 2014, he's trying to refill it, you know.
Yeah, well, I don't get mad at anybody. If you could do it, let me know how any of us can save any kind of money down there now. I'm on board.
Well, and the thing about popcorn is unless you've got a water or a beer in your hand, when you go up and get popcorn, you're going to get a drink because
right.
you can't eat popcorn without having something to wash it down with. So
that's
I mean, all it,
yeah.
Yeah, all it would do would boost sales for soda, beer, and water, so...
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, I don't know. Anything that they can do to help you out a little bit now. I know it's $10, and the thing of it is they're going to end up making more anyway because half the people won't even think to refill it, or if they can during their trip, they'll leave it back in the room, like, you know, because they don't want to cart it around with them. Disney's not dumb.
And even, like I said, even if somebody tries to maximize their value and fill up on as much popcorn as they can in a day, it's so cheap, you couldn't eat enough to, you know, you're never going to eat the value out of it. You know what I'm saying?
No.
No, the thing is the souvenir cup is the main thing. It's another change cup.
Yeah,
for me.
Yeah, and we actually bought one the last time we were out there, and it's the one they're using. It has Mickey and Minnie in front of Mission Space, and it's a shorter, fatter bucket than the taller ones that were before. So it's a little different shape. So I think if they're starting with this one, that's how they're going to differentiate between people that might have had one from a couple of years ago. So it's a little different shape. So. But, we'll definitely grab one next week, or I might actually see if I can't take the one that we have already and see if we can't just get it refilled. So we'll find out.
Okay, we'll have to do some breaking popcorn
there you
news
go.
Here. News bulletin on the popcorn next week. So, but you did a good job. The picks of the day, everybody seems to like them.
I appreciate it, yeah. If you follow me over at Beer Solo, I put up a Disney –
Beer Solo. That's a different.
Beer Solo. I put up a Disney pick of the day every day, so or a little video sometimes. So.
Yeah.
All right. I look forward to them every day. We usually retweet them on the site.
Yeah, they are awesome. It's just like you said, Doug. A little something to look forward to every day. A little Disney related picture or video, like John said. They're awesome.
Well, join us over at WDW Main Street to see John's pick of the day, or go to @BeerSolo on Twitter. You can follow Dennis at Oak Manor, and you can find me at good old Grumpy 6767. And you can find us over at Facebook at WDW Main Street. John's always posting pictures up there for us. And please, guys, if you can, we got another nice review on iTunes, and I'll read them off next week. And please, guys, that's the only way we get moved up on iTunes, if you leave us a review. So we'd really, really appreciate it, and we thank you for doing that. And we will catch you guys next week. Later, John.
See you. Bye-bye, guys. Have a good weekend.
Yep. Bye-bye. Bye.
Snow glows white on the mountain tonight, not a footprint to be seen. A kingdom of isolation, and it looks like I'm the queen. The wind is howling like this swirling storm inside. Couldn't keep it in, heaven knows I tried. Don't let them, don't let them see. Be the good girl you always have to be. Conceal, don't feel, don't let them know. Well, now they know. Let it go, let it go. Can't hold it back anymore. Let it go, let it go. It's funny how some distance makes everything seem small, and the fears that once controlled me can't get to me at all. It's time to see what I can do to test the limits and break through. No light, no road, no rules for me.
Go and play. I never see you anymore. Come out the door. It's like you've gone away. We used to be best buddies, and now we're not. I wish you would tell me why. Do you want to build a snowman?
It doesn't have to be a snowman.
Wait, Anna.
Okay, bye.
Thank you.
wanna build a snowman or ride our bike around the halls. I think some company's overdue. I've started talking to the pictures on the walls. Hang in there, Joan. It gets a little lonely, all these empty rooms, just watching the hours tick by. Elsa, please, I know you're in there. People are asking where you've been. They say of courage, and I'm trying to. I'm right out here for you. Just let me in. We only have each other. It's just you and me. What are we gonna do? Do you want to build a snowman?
You don't have to protect me. I'm not afraid. Please don't shut me out again. Please don't slam the door. You don't have to keep your distance anymore. 'Cause for the first time in forever, I finally understand. For the first time in forever, we can fix this hand in hand. We can head down this mountain together. You don't have to live in fear. 'Cause for the first time in forever, be right here.
Anna, please go back home. Your life awaits. Go enjoy the sun and open up the gates.
Yeah, but I know
you mean well. But leave me be. Yes, I'm alone, but I'm alone and free. Just stay away and you'll be safe from me.
Actually, we're not.
What do you mean you're not?
I get the feeling you don't know.
What do I not know?
Arendelle's in deep, 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 deep snow.
What?
You kind of set off an eternal winter everywhere.
Everywhere?
Well, it's okay. You can just unfreeze it.
No, I can't. I don't know how.
Sure you can. I know you can. 'Cause for the first time in forever.
Oh, I'm such a fool.
Be free.
No escape from the storm inside.
We can't understand.
I can't control the curse.
We'll reverse the storm.
Mama, please, you'll only make it worse.
Don't panic.
There's so much fear.
Sunshine,
you're not safe here.
We can face this thing together. We can change the future.
Well, guys, that's going to be it. Me and Dan's going to hop off our stools, pay our tab, and get on out of here. This show is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel. For all your travel needs, contact American Tourist Travel at 856-227-9200. If you need a nice home in the Central Florida area to go visit Disney, Universal, or any of the fine amusement parks, and you want to stay outside the parks, contact Elite Vacation Homes at 888-510-6679. They have a home to fit any size family. If you need a scooter in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at 855-939-7266. And if you want to rent a vacation club on Disney property, contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at 800-610-5791. And you can also find all of our fine sponsors at our website at www.magicalmainstreetmemories.com. And please, guys, go give us a review over on iTunes. That's going to be it. Thanks again, and thanks for listening. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.